So is it weird being back? For those of you who have not returned because you don't feel safe or for other reasons, we absolutely understand and do not want you to return until you feel safe or it's safe for you to do so. So you are making the right choice for yourselves. And I just wanted to say that up front. Do you feel like laughing or crying today? I'm kind of back and forth, and I've sort of been this way all weekend. Today's the first time we've been together physically worshiping since St. Patrick's Day, when everything closed down. That's right, over 3.5 months. Back then, being apart seemed weird. Now, having you all here again seems weird. Right? You get used to absolutely no one or one or two people maybe out there, right? It's just kind of weird. Can we just take a moment to laugh or cry? You know, sometimes the circumstances of our lives call us to cry, and sometimes they call us to laugh. I know you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you just have to laugh or cry at some places in your life. Here's something to keep in mind when you're having one of those moments, though. Both laughter and tears are a gift from God. They're telling us something about ourselves, and they're giving us a clue about where God is calling us to go in the future. Have you hit your frustration point in life yet? Too many rules and regulations. Even here in worship, you're all very perfectly socially distanced. You've sanitized and scrubbed upon entering. You're wearing your masks. Rules and regulations. Even our communion in a few minutes isn't going to be normal, is it? And it hasn't been normal. That's not to say good or bad, just not what we're used to. How frustrating is your life right now? You know, sometimes frustration is a good motivator, and it'll help you understand where Jesus is coming from in this piece of Matthew's gospel that Mary just read. One thing that Jesus is not is a game player, and he's frustrated and tired of playing games with the powers that be, with the priests and the Pharisees. At this point in the gospel, Jesus has had more than a few chapters of game playing and ridiculous questions and pointless arguments with the Pharisees, and he's fed up with it. Can you blame him? Do any of you enjoy a game player and a time waster? Do any of you like it when someone is only interested in messing with your head and has no intention of having a serious or sincere discussion with you? When the game is nothing more than to prove that they're right and you're wrong? Anyone appreciate that? That's why Jesus has this to say. To what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Jesus uses these words to do a little game playing on his own by quoting a little rhyme. Now, we don't see that rhyme in English, but it is there in the Greek in Matthew's gospel, because the words for dance and mourn rhyme, as do play and wail. It's Jesus' way of saying that he, just like John, is not in the business of playing kids' games. Neither of them will dance to the world's tune, and neither will they play games by the rules that the Pharisees want to use. Just like John before him is calling us to put an end to childish ways and stop playing games with ourselves. What's really at the heart of the matter is how we'll respond to the grace-filled offer that God makes to us in Jesus Christ. How will we come to the God who desires for nothing more than to forgive us, to heal us, and to set us free to love and serve God by loving and serving each other? First, God sent John. a prophet in classic Old Testament style to call the people to repentance, to return to God. But to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We wailed and you did not mourn. The wailing and mourning part, that's John's message. And yet some choose not to mourn, not to feel shame, not to repent, and not to seek forgiveness. Enter Jesus, the one who plays the tune of forgiveness and love for us and calls us to dance. And yet some choose not to dance. So what's the answer? Think about your own life for a minute. How many times have you felt known in your heart of hearts that this was a time to do a little mourning, to make peace with what's died in your life, and to make peace with what needs to be taken off of life support and mourn the loss so you can move on? How many things do you carry that are better off left behind? What baggage from the past, old hurts, old scars, old bruises, is best left behind? What attitudes and behaviors do you still have that need to be taken off life support and ended, buried and left behind, so you can live abundant life in Christ? So much of what we considered normal back in March, we've left behind. Are you at peace with that? Have you even started mourning for those things yet? See, it's always easy to poke fun at those clueless and mean old Pharisees until we have to admit the ways that we're just like them. And then it hurts. Where are the tender places inside of you that need to be acknowledged and wept over so you can live a fuller life and richer life? When Jesus says to let the dead bury the dead, he's giving us some good advice. The hurt and the pain of the past can never go away until we face it and we let it go. The hurt and pain of the past can never go away until we deal with it, or it will always hold sway over our lives. And that is not what God wills for us. The old baggage, best left in the past, is a burden that's too heavy for us to carry. And you can't dance carrying that burden. Think about your own life for a minute. How many times have you felt or known in your heart of hearts that it was time to do a little dancing? That it was time to hear, to listen to that sweet song of forgiveness and new life that Christ is singing to us? How long has it been since you've allowed yourself to hope that the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ is your good news too? How long has it been since you let that beautiful dancing music minister to you? Sometimes life does play us a sad song and remind us that we need to do a little mourning. And sometimes life gives us a good dance tune and expects us to get up and get out on the dance floor. There is a time and a season for each. There's a time to hear John's call to repent, and there's a time to hear Jesus' call to celebrate God's love and forgiveness. Here it is in a nutshell. Sometimes you have to dance, and sometimes you have to cry. That's just the nature of what it means to be human. But there's a third choice. I take that back. There is no third choice. Just setting you up, folks. You can do one or the other. It's an either or. You can dance and sing, or you can mourn. Those are your choices. There's no third choice to sit out and play another game. That's how the Pharisees wanted it, but they don't get to make up the rules of the game any more than we do. As for me, I would rather weep or dance with the one who promises me an easy yoke and a light burden, rather than the yoke of slavery and that heavy burden that too often finds its way into my life. The flute is playing. The dirge is being sung. Will you respond? How will you respond? And when we're tired of all the game playing we're doing in our lives or others are doing, listen for that dance music and that sad song being sung. And Jesus says, come to me. Come to me when you no longer remember how to laugh for joy, or when you no longer remember how to weep for what you've lost, or for what you just know is missing in your life. Come to me when the weight and burden of your life is too heavy to bear alone. And Jesus says, come to me. One of the best promises that Jesus makes to us is this. One of the most deeply and comforting and reassuring promises Jesus makes is right here. You know the words. You know them by heart. You've heard them in worship. They've invited you to the table. They've given you peace so many times before. And Jesus says, come to me. And yet one more play on words, Jesus calls us. There is still a burden, but it's light. And there is still a yoke, but it's easy. My burden for you is to give up what you hold on to so tightly and can't control anyway and lean on me. My yoke is easy because when you find your rest in me, it will be genuine rest and peace. And dancing is definitely allowed. Sorry, Baptists. Jesus comes to us to lift the heavy burdens of life from our back. He reminds us that we were made to belong to him and not to this world. He invites us to know that faith is a thing that is meant to set us free, free to truly worship and truly serve our God with joy and with love. And Jesus says, come unto me, all you who are tired, all you who are drained, all you who are feeling empty, all you who are burdened by disappointment, all you who are exhausted by the struggles of life and weighed down by your sense of duty and of what others think is right and wrong, and I will give you rest. I will forgive you. I will fill you with joy and put you in relationship with God that will give you new life here and in the world to come. The issue in life isn't what will be our burden, but with what we shall be burdened. It's not if we shall be yoked, but to what and with whom we shall be yoked. Jesus is interested in lifting the burdens off our backs that drain us and suck like life out of us so he can place another on them that is better suited to us. He's interested in removing the harness that we forge for ourselves or the world forges for us with its demands and pressures so that he can place around our necks his own yoke, his own harness, the yoke, the harness, the burden that brings new life, new energy, new joy to us and others through us. His promise is that when we come to him, when we learn from him, and we offer ourselves to him, that he will work in and through us, that he will give us strength and hope and joy and peace and patience and love, that he'll give us new life. So when we decide it's time to stop being Pharisees, time to stop being Pharisees and decide once and for all if it's time to laugh or cry for what was or what could have been, or to laugh for what can be, then we can heal. Then we can grow. Then we can find abundant life. Then we can lay down our burdens and decide what yoke we're able to bear, this world's or Jesus. As for me, I'll take Jesus up on his offer anytime. That is always our best bet because that is life and wholeness and rest and peace for all of us. Come unto me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to my table and feast and dance and sing for joy. Come to my table. Amen.